Today is Wednesday, October 16th, 2013, and it is media training call number one. I'm Jess Todfeld, and Nick Nanton is on the line as well. How are you doing today, Nick?
Doing awesome, man. Excited about this show, man. It's an awesome group. I know a lot of the people in the group, and there's new folks, but the background of everyone is going to be an interesting one, it's a really nice-sized group, and we got a couple different shows going, so I think we're like at 28 people, something like that, 28, 29. So it's going to be fun.
Nice. So, all right, Nick, take it away and tell us what everybody is in store for and what they can expect.
Sure thing. So, obviously, we're talking November 6th through the 8th in San Diego, so lots of fun, great city. I hope you are flying in by midday on the 6th because we will be having a welcome red carpet bash and reception on the 6th. It'll be on your itinerary. I don't want to tell you the wrong time, so I won't. But it'll be at the hotel. We're staying at the Hard Rock there, so it'll be at the hotel. And typically,
Nick, one quick thing for anybody who is either talking or you have noise where you are. If you press *6, you'll mute yourself out. And if it's not noisy, you don't have to mute yourself out, and then you can be interactive. Sorry, Nick, take it away.
No problem. And so at the Hard Rock, there's like a staircase up from the lobby, and there's kind of a conference floor there. That's where our reception usually is. So just, ask them where the celebrity branding event is or the celebrity experience. It should have someone celebrity or DN agency in it. It should tell you whatever we booked the room block under on your itinerary, it should be under that. So we'll be there for the welcome reception. It's typically around 5:30 to 7:30. We have some drinks. We have some food. And there'll be a red carpet there. You'll take pictures with each other, with me if you want. With Lindsay will be there. Bobby Davidowitz will be there if he's your agent for some of you. We have a couple different events going on at the same time, so we have split teams. So we'll have some of us at that event. So you have myself and Lindsay again, and you'll have Bobby Davidowitz as well. And my camera crew will be there, obviously, as well. So we'll do a welcome reception on the 6th, and then you will get a time for the next morning. Between basically 8 and noon, we'll be doing photo shoots. And so you'll have a makeup block and then a shoot block. And then your shoot will take makeup will take 5-10 minutes each, and then your shoot will take, again, about 5-10 minutes. These are photos where you'll be shot on a white background, so you'll be able to use them for all sorts of other things. I will be post-processing them right on site. You'll be able to see them and make sure you like them before you go anywhere or do anything else. And they're really great looking photos, so I think you will enjoy having those. And then, when you are done with your photos, you will be able to go relax in your room or whatever else, or hang out with everybody until lunchtime. We'll all go to lunch together from around 12 to 1, somewhere right around there. And then we'll come back in the afternoon, and we will do some from about 1 to 4:30, 1 to 5. I'll do some additional on-site media coaching and training, like what Jess is doing now, and I'll just kind of help you get a few last-minute physical things in that are hard to teach over the phone and just remind you about some things. And then Lindsay will teach you some online marketing strategies. We're going to have Greg Skype in, I think, and teach you some marketing strategies, some offline marketing strategies, because it's stuff I still want you to learn, even though he had to be somewhere else. And then I will also teach you a bunch of different ways to use the TV appearance in your marketing. So that's what we'll be doing on the 7th. And then the 8th, you will have a makeup time and you'll have a shoot time. You'll come in and you'll get your makeup done, your shoot done, and you'll basically end up with a 7 to 10 minute interview video. And then at the end of each interview, we will cut the interview and we will ask you, you'll get the questions ahead of time, by the way, and you will get a final question that's not inside the interview, and I'll tell you why we do that in a second. But it's a pretty generic question, what's your best piece of advice to help people thrive in the new economy or something like that. The reason why we do that is a lot of the people who we work with are in different professions that require compliance. So like financial advisors specifically, if you're a financial advisor who has tough compliance, we encourage you to talk about anything you want. You might want to talk about horses rather than the financial markets. That little clip is what's going to be played on TV. And so if you need to talk about something that's, that you don't have to get pushed through compliance, we like to do that. That's why we do it separate from the interview. If you want to add it into your interview, it can be added into the interview. But essentially, so you each get a 7 to 10 minute finished HD 3-camera shoot video, TV show appearance, and then you'll have a separate clip that we film that will actually take those clips, compile them all together, and air them on the main show, in the 30-minute show. So you'll be able to say, hey, I was recently on this show on NBC, CBS, ABC, and Fox affiliates around the country, and, you know, in case you missed it, here's my interview, and you give people the full interview. Again, that one clip is really just to get it on TV. We get it on, and that clip, those clips disappear forever unless you would like them added into your main interview. Once that's all done, that's going to be a long day of shooting, but you're not going to see that many people because you'll basically see a couple people who film before you and maybe a couple people who film after you. So that's when we have a wrap party that night. Friday night we do a wrap party so that everyone can get together and hang out, and that's when everyone's finally relaxed. So everyone, you know, re-solidify their relationships and really kind of hang out and get to know each other even better. And then we encourage everyone not to leave until at least Saturday. Now, because I can cheat on this a little bit, because I just had, Carl was just saying that he was just out with us at an event we just did at High Point University, a little bit of a different style event. Carl, can I beg you to just say a couple things about the fact that when it's hard to explain to people that you're going to make good friends and there's a lot of really interesting people and, kind of those dinners and things we did last night to kind of reconnect with everybody. I would just love your perspective on that, being that you've been through, a program that kind of has a similar daily structure to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just – for me, it was not just some of the events. I've got several things going with the agency right now, and it goes beyond the product or the experience that you're paying for. Some of the relationships, we had just an amazing group at High Point a week ago. And you got to remember that if you're paying and you're attending one of these things, you're going to end up with people that are like-minded. These are marketers. These are people that want to brand themselves. And so, regardless of the business that they're in, you always have an opportunity to expand. Not just relationships, but ideas. And there's a lot of time in between events, and you spend a lot of time with the group that's going to be there. And I can tell you, we had a very small group at High Point, but it was just an awesome group. I mean, we had a really fun time, and we also had, I'm still in contact with some folks that, want various aspects of my business. So, great experience.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you. So, yeah, and that is, and it'll be, you'll be surprised. I mean, every group is different, but it'll be the same vibe. You'll enjoy. There'll just be more people to learn from and do business with. So I'm excited about that. Thank you. The other thing to let you guys know is, as far as people always want to know dress code stuff. So let's talk a little bit about that. The red carpet bash. Here's the bottom line: everything that you're doing, you should dress the way that you want to be seen. I will typically wear jeans and a sports coat for my, for the red carpet bash and everything else. I mean, if you are a personal trainer and you're always, people know you as wearing sweats and they're nice sweats, and I mean, you could wear that if you wanted to, but just dress the way you want to be seen. Same thing goes for your photos. I mean, dress the way people would see you when they come into your office or the way you want to be represented. I would encourage you to kind of dress for your brand inside and outside the office. I don't always dress exactly the same because I'm not seeing clients. I may not dress the same, but if you're a suit and tie guy, when clients come in, be a suit and tie guy on camera. If you're not, don't be. If you wear glasses when clients come in, wear glasses on camera. If not, get LASIK or contacts, because what we want to start doing with these images is building a relationship with people through the image, through your brand image. And if people come in expecting to see one thing and then they actually meet you and they see something different, they can't even explain why, but subconsciously they're starting not to trust you, and you never want to start out, from a space of distrust. So dress the way you want to be seen. I think that's the most important way to put it. For the photo shoot, if you want to bring a couple different ties and try those out, we don't have time for full wardrobe changes and stuff, but a lot of times we'll have time for jacket on, jacket off, tie on, tie off, or different tie rotation or whatever. So I would think about that. For the photo shoots, it's not as important, but for the video shoot, people often ask, well, do I want to wear the same thing? Up to you. I typically don't. I think it's good to have a couple different looks, but also you want to try to avoid any sort of tight patterns on camera for the video shoot. Not as important again for the photo shoot, but the video shoot, you can get what's called moiré lines on the cameras. I will revert back to the rule that I always use: dress in what you want to be seen in and what you're most comfortable in, and I'll work around it. But it's ideal if you don't wear tight patterns or zigzags or things like that, because they can look kind of psychedelic on cameras, how they look, the way they shine in the light. It's a little funky. But again, I'll work around you but just if you want to look, if you want to give me the most room to make you look great, you know, solid colors are great. I don't particularly care. A lot of people say don't wear black or don't wear white, or I'm not really worried about that. I always wear pretty much all black, and we light it really nicely and looks great. We'll actually be shooting the show in a really nice suite at Hard Rock there. This is our third or fourth year doing it there, so we know the suite well, we know the lighting well, we know, so we've got it dialed in real well, and it actually looks like a really nice set day. So that's pretty cool. So I think that's about all I've got to tell you about that right now. Within the next week or so, you should get the questions. Depending on who's interviewing you, whether you're on the Brian Tracy show or on our show, you know, Brian has the questions. I put them up on like a cheat board for him, but Brian's Brian. Brian's going to ask you the questions he wants to ask you. they're never going to set you up for anything bad, but he's going to ask you those questions. I will ask you if you want the exact questions. If I'm interviewing you and you want the exact questions that you were given, let me know. And I'll give you those exact questions. If not, if I'm interviewing you, we typically will have a conversation and make sure we get around all those questions. But that's about all the main details I want to tell you. Does anyone have any questions about that? Jess, what are some of the frequently asked questions? Did I cover them all?
Let's see. You got the makeup one in there. The frequently asked questions tend to be about when they're going to get the questions from you, and you covered a lot of that. But sometimes it's the dates of when something is going to come to them. I know that's one that I've put out to you in the past. And we're going to be covering a lot. You started talking about the clothing.
Okay.
I think good. I think we're. But I'll give everybody a chance to chime in if there's something someone's thinking right now that they haven't had a chance to ask. We have a lot of people on the line.
I have a thought. This is Nelson Hollins, and sometimes when I wear the clothing that I wear, it depends on how I feel, and I'm hoping that I'll be feeling the appropriate way once I'm there. I know you were saying that depending on the customer or who I'm in front of at that particular time, I may sometimes wear not always a suit, but at least I'll have a suit dressed down, and not necessarily with a tie. But I wonder about a leisure outfit, which is a two-piece outfit as well. So I have different feelings as to when I wear the clothing. So I'm hoping that I'll at least have that feeling in mind when I'm in front of the camera. But
sure.
I hope I'm expressing that right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And Milton, what do you do?
I'm sorry?
What do you do, Milton?
Oh, I do 5-star Caribbean travel.
Okay. Cool. I mean, I'm asking because my biggest rule of thumb is if you're a doctor, you should look like a doctor. If you're a rock star, you should look like a rock star. Not the other way around, unless somehow you're the rock star doctor and that's your brand name.
Amen to that. Yep.
So,
I would be rocking, I mean, yeah, I would exactly. brand with clothing because everyone that meets you and sees you, I mean, they want to feel like they're going on vacation from the time they're talking with you. But that, I mean, that's a different discussion. But I would have, I mean, I would probably always.
My clientele is CEOs, executives, and professional sports athletes. So I naturally would want to, especially when it comes to CEOs and executives. That's why I mentioned the suit and dressing down with just a regular, without the tie. There's just kind of a, I don't know how to describe it, a mock, I guess.
I know exactly what you're talking about. So.
Oh, great. Okay.
Do what you feel comfortable with, but I think there's a way to dial in your costume, if you will, for that marketplace where it's not off-putting to a CEO in an office space. But,
uh-huh.
I mean, really, 5-star Caribbean travel is upscale but relaxed, right? So there's a way to represent that. I mean, it might be linen pants or dark pants and a linen jacket. I mean, there's a bunch of cool stuff you could do, but I would try to figure out what does your brand really look like. And again, it is going to change from day to day, but I think the key point I'm making here is like, because I mean, most people aren't going to wear the same uniform every day and they just get bored. I mean, the clients don't care, but they get bored of it, which is the hardest part. But I think the main key is like, if you typically wear upscale stuff, don't come in a, you know, don't come in a tank top. And that's a really kind of a really extreme example. But the whole point is kind of dress, you know, dress to the, I mean, certainly we all have a style. And I have that same style should carry all the way from my beach wear to my black tie wear. And so I can get away with wearing any of it in between, but it all kind of aligns. Like if I, you know, I'm known as a celebrity lawyer, it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense for me in my press shots and stuff to be in board shorts and a tank top. It just wouldn't really work. So just point being, think it through and try to figure out, you know, what does my brand look like? What do I want to represent my brand as when people first see me? And then when people first see me, I mean, I think that's the key point.
Okay.
Can't so, you use different photo opportunities for different looks too? I mean, you've got red carpet, you could be a little bit more casual, still dressed.
Amen to that.
But then,
yep.
And then, you know, use the video opportunity to really dress yourself up, say, both looks.
Okay,
yep.
Perfect. Okay.
Great point. And I typically, so like I always wear jeans and a sports coat, except for our black tie events, but on the TV interviews, I put on black pants because I realize that, you know, some financial advisors or dressier, you know, careers, you know, the jeans just don't really work great for them. I always wear Converse, but again, I dress it up, you know, wear nice, you know, Ferragamo black shoes for the TV interview just because I want to be, I don't want to take the attention away from the interviewee, which is the purpose of this whole thing. And if you're being interviewed by Brian Tracy, he will be decked out in a Beverly Hills custom tailored suit, and that's his deal, you know? And so, that might help you as well.
Okay. Appreciate that.
No problem. Any other questions? All right, well, if you do have a question, you know how to reach us. Hopefully your experience has been great. It's going to get even better. If you have any questions at all, feel free to email me or anyone on my team, and we'll make sure you get the answers. And other than that, I'm going to turn it over to Jess because you got lots of great things to teach you. And you guys have fun. I'll see you. I'll be on the next call, and then I'll see you guys in just a couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks, in San Diego. Thank you, guys. Take care, Jess.
All right. Good. All right, so here's what's happening next. And the way we like to do these calls, both these calls, is so you hear Nick and you can ask anything that's going through your head and gives you, obviously, that sense of what to expect. And then I'm going to dive deep. My profession, what I do all the time, is I'm a media trainer. And just to give you a quick little background on me, I'm a former TV producer. I was a producer on the national level for 13 years, and I worked at ABC, NBC, and Fox. And the thing that I always loved the most was during the day, we'd put our shows together, but during the actual show, I would sit in the green room, and I would talk with a guest, and I would say things like, by the way, for the one woman where we could hear you, just hit *6 so you can mute yourself out. *6 to one woman, we can hear you. Okay, so what I would do is I'd sit in the green room, and I would turn to a guest and say, so what are you going to say when you go out there? And they would start to tell me, and part of the way through, I'd say, wait, you should lead with that. And they'd say, I should lead with that? Yeah, so move this here and do this and say this thing in the beginning, and oh, that other thing you said was perfect, and tell this story. All right, now go out and get them. And I had a political consultant who was watching me. This is probably about 1997 or 8. And they said, hey, you know what you're doing? You're media training them. And I thought, I think I like this better. And it put me on the path to what I'm doing now, and I've been doing this for 10 years. And it's great, a lot of fun. I work with a lot of CEOs. I work with authors and everybody in between. And certainly with Nick and these shows and these programs, I think we've been doing this over the last 5 years. It might be 6 years. But it's getting hazy. But, man, Nick really has it down to a well-oiled machine right now. And please definitely take part in the fact that the other attendees are really, you know, all of you are, you know, top people. You've, you know, put your business at the forefront to say, hey, I'm going to go do this thing. And it's always just interesting to see the relationships that are built there. And people even from some, I think one of the very first ones, I still keep in touch with. So, so it's kind of it's an interesting, fun thing. So here's what's happening now. I want to give you as much as I can give you that's in my brain that will make you feel good and look good and sound good in the interview. Which brings me to our first question. This is why we're not muted, why you're not muted. Is it better to look calm and comfortable on camera or be calm and comfortable on camera? You can think about that for a half a second here. Is it better to look calm and comfortable on camera or be calm and comfortable? Go ahead. What do you think? Yell it out.
Look.
I'm going to say look.
some looks. We have some people saying B. Anyone else?
B.
I go for B.
Oh, we have another B? Well, I'm going to tell you what it is. If you look calm and comfortable, you get credit for being calm and comfortable. So it's actually the better of the two. Now, of course, we all want to be calm and comfortable. Don't worry, I'm going to give you techniques for that too. But this is the very first lesson that I learned when I left television and I wrote some books and I wrote a book about how to be in front of the media. And here I was going and doing interviews, and I had spent years in TV studios and around media people and lots of famous people, and I wasn't nervous when I was behind the scenes, but then they put me in the hot seat, and I was thinking, son of a gun, why am I getting nervous? I should, you know, I shouldn't be feeling this way. So the very first thing that I learned was, hey, if I can just look the part, everybody will say, wow, you were calm, you looked like you knew your stuff, nicely done. And it's kind of a weird phenomenon. When I first started giving speeches, I also used to be a little bit nervous, and there's a lot going on in my head, and I would go out there and do my thing, and people would say, no, you look so calm and comfortable, I couldn't believe it. And it was weird. I would say, really? Because it was the opposite in my head. But, you know, I got credit for it. So I realized that that was a huge thing. And so how did I just at least look the part? I'm going to tell you the body language pieces and all that, but I kind of, at the very least, at the smallest level, I kind of took a deep breath, and I just... nice to be here. Yes, it's great to be here, even though I wasn't feeling it yet. And kind of an interesting thing, usually about after about, say, 90 seconds, you do start to feel it a little bit more. But here's what I can do to get you there. Because when I have people fill out long little surveys of what, which I didn't do to all of you, but long little surveys on what it is you want to get out of our calls and our chat together and all that, people always put in that word feel. I want to feel better during this process. I want to feel like I know what I'm talking about, which is slightly different than I want to make sure I know what I'm talking about. And I would venture to say that all of you who do what you do every day, day in and day out, you know your stuff. I bet you your clients are happy with things that you do. And it's just a matter of translating that to these future prospects and other people who see this video that will live on your site and essentially reach through and do a lot of the work for you. So for, I think it was Milton who was asking the question before about what to wear, I mean, one of the things that was going through my head was you're going to have CEOs, if that's your clientele, CEOs who are watching this. It's like a virtual meeting. It's bridging the gap in a lot of ways between prospect calls. And they may still take that next step, and it may be faster, but in that next step and pick up the phone and chat with you and say, what would you do specifically? But it's kind of a nice, calm way of them meeting you. So think about it. If that prospect is meeting you, how would you dress? What would you put out there? And along those lines, what are the things that you say? So if you're taking notes, this is a good one to write down. The first one would be, that if you look the part, you get credit for it. So you say, oh, I'll figure out how to look the part. But the second is, what are the things that you say to clients and prospects that makes them connect with you, that makes their eyebrows go up, that makes them take a few steps towards saying, you're speaking my language, I want to work with you? These are indicators of things that you probably should bring up in the interview. And I'm going to give you another little insight here, because I want to kind of open with fire. As David Ogilvy, a big advertising guru, used to say, if you're selling fire extinguishers, open with fire. And my little thing for each of you is there something in your interview that you could say surprising and open big? So one thing is say the things the prospects and clients really love. And the next thing is, you might think to yourself, but I don't know exactly what the interviewer is going to ask next. Step one, you are going to, whether it's Brian Tracy or it's Nick who will be interviewing you, they are there
to make you look great. And actually, a lot of you who go out and do interviews, most of the time, we worry about, we got to be prepared for a gotcha question and this and that. Well, most of the times when people have you on a program or they're interviewing you, they want to get something good or have you help them look good, meaning their program look good. You don't. When I worked in television, probably 98% of the people we had on were supporting what we just told the audience you're going to get. If it was 5 ways to lose weight while eating fast food, as I'm thinking about something that would have grabbed us, we want the guest to have something good to deliver. So here's something that will make you feel good, which is, here we're on the field side, which is your interviewers are going to do everything that they can to make you look great and point you towards saying great things. And Nick especially, that's why Nick said, look, if you really want me to ask a specific question, I'll ask it and I'll bring you in that direction. And when he said, hey, Brian Tracy, and he might still ask you a few things that he wants to ask you, he's not going to ask you something crazy and off the wall. He's going to establish a little relationship with you, and he might dive deeper and just say something like, wow, this is fascinating. How does somebody even think to get into this career like yours? How does somebody even think up an idea like this? So he may ask a question in his own way, but it's ultimately something supportive. And what I'm really trying to do with this call and the next call is to eliminate the unknown. And when it comes to anything in life that makes us nervous, which includes, as somebody who does what I do as a communication consultant and media trainer, it's fear of the unknown. That's what's really, it's not fear of speaking, it's fear of the unknown. And if you think about any first job you had in the first day that you were there, it's kind of nerve-wracking because, not because you don't know what you're doing necessarily, there are some pieces you don't know, but it's usually because of all the unknown pieces. I'm not sure who the people are. I'm not sure what the protocol is. I'm not sure how this is going to go. And look, the purpose of these two calls are not just to give you strategies. You're going to get those. But the more unknown I can remove, the better time you're going to have. And I know we have a whole bunch of you who are on the call right now. And that's fantastic. And I know a lot of people tune into the replay, and that is fantastic too. And the more unknown I can remove, and everything is with that filter in there. So part of it is, here's what it's going to look like. Here's what you're going to show up. It's going to be fun. There are going to be cocktail parties. Meet everybody. Great. So you know it's relaxed. Here's something else that's going to make you feel better and more relaxed. Your interviewer, Brian Tracy or Nick, will be around you a good deal. And I can't remember if you'll see Nick the entire time. And Brian Tracy, I think he comes in the night before. He may be there just a little bit longer. I can't remember. But you will have enough time to chat with him. He's a really nice guy. I don't know. I mean, I've read practically every book and listened to his audios and all those things. So the first time I met him, I was kind of, even though I'd met a lot of celebrities, I was thinking, oh, I like him so much. There was that little moment of being starstruck, but this is the nice thing. Because you'll have extra time around him, and he'll take interest in what everybody's doing, and, oh, hey, nice to meet you, you realize, okay, this guy's a regular, nice, human being, and he's going to make me look good. A lot of that dissipates before the interview. Here's another thing you can do to feel better during the interview, which is Nick will point out where the interview space is. You should take a little time. About 5 minutes is probably plenty, but you can go longer than 5 minutes. Sit in the chair that you will sit during the interview. And do this a tiny bit in advance, meaning it could be the day before or the morning of, or in between the other interviews. You choose. But do it at some point before. Because what happens is you sit there and you kind of look around and you say, whoa, this is the space and what it's going to be like. And after literally about 2 minutes, you start to say, okay, it's a chair.
I can't remember if you'll be on a chair or the longer catch because Nick switches it up a little bit. It's either two chairs, kind of like the Arsenio Hall show set up, as opposed to a Tonight Show where the interview has, you know, a desk and a long setup for somebody to sit on. But you're either on big club chair or, you know, a longer couch. But it doesn't matter. It's a chair. It doesn't just sitting in. So after about 2 minutes, you're kind of like, yeah, I get it. It's a chair. And the day of when Nick's team loads it up with lots of lights, again, you kind of look around and you might say, ooh, those are fancy lights. But I want you to remember this. They are lights. You have them in your home. Lights are lights. It's not, you know, when I say that, people chuckle and they say, you know, he's right. It's, you know, I'm going to worry about it. Fine, yes, they want people to see me and they want it to look pretty. Okay, fine. The only thing that you should be focused on is not the lights and all the, you know, the crew walking around, all that stuff, and whatever their fancy equipment is. I want you focused on the person interviewing you. That's it. It's you and the person who's interviewing you. And let the crew do their thing. In the early days, it was kind of funny. Only funny because it's not me who had to deal with it. Nick's crew had something, a fuse blew or whatever it was. And, you know, man, the crew was struggling and running around. There was sweat pouring and this and that. And they got it back together and everything, you know. None of those folks who were being interviewed, I don't even think even noticed. I mean, I think maybe it slowed it down for 20 minutes and they were back on schedule. It's fine. But the point was they'll absorb any worry. Let them do whatever it is that they do. And, you know, I was nice and calm because I knew it wasn't on my shoulders. I didn't have to worry. They're going to work it out however they're going to work it out. And I think they, you know, swapped some equipment or whatever it is that they did, and everything was fun. So, you know, enjoy that experience. And, you know, know it's, you know, it's ultimately on them, which includes the editing process. So I guess Nick didn't go as – I don't think he went as deeply into this, but if you – what I want for you is to approach this as what we used to call live to tape, meaning you're having this conversation, you're not – it's not like after every question you stop and say, I want to think now about my answers. You're going to be far, far better if you just say – we're doing it. We're doing it like it's an interview. I'm going to have full energy. Notice how I, even as I'm saying that, my energy level came up. And you want good energy. If you're taking notes, write the word energy down. Here's how I get people to have great energy. When I was a producer, in the early days, when I was in the green room, I would notice some people were a little low energy. They'd show up and they'd say, oh, yeah, it's nice to be here. And, yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. And I was thinking, that's going to look horrible on camera. It looks like somebody doesn't love what they do. So eventually I figured out there's one word that can get you there, and the word is passion. I say, what is it about what you do that makes you passionate? Why are you passionate about what you do? And when I would say that, people would start to tell me, and they think, well, here's why I love what I do, and here's what drives me every day. And obviously, you're taking this next step and doing something bigger than the person who doesn't really love what they do. So I know we have a passionate bunch. Having seen many of the other bunches that come through, I know it's a passionate bunch. So, right, passion equals energy. And when you do that, you kind of get your mental, your head wrapped around the right things and doing what you need to do. So so you want to sit there. You want to sit there in advance on the couch. You want to meet your interviewers. See, I'm removing all the unknowns. This is really good. You want to connect with that passion. You're going to do it as if it is live to tape, meaning I'm going to do this interview. We're going to go back and forth. And then if you flubbed some line or you were stumbling on something, what they do is they're recording. They have multiple cameras. Each one has its own recording. I was going to say tape, but everything digital nowadays. But, you know, essentially it's each got its own little recording. So say you stumbled on some word and then got your footing back and you made your good point. They're going to cut to the interviewer for a second nodding, and they're going to just cut that out, and it cuts back to you. Nobody will ever know. So don't even sweat that. Kind of a funny thing happens, as I say, you don't have to sweat it. when you know you don't have to sweat it, people seem to make less mistakes or mess it up so much. And if there's even a tiny one, Nick and his team pull it out in editing, and it just, and it looks fantastic. And here's something else too. They shoot each interview in about 10 minutes. You know, it may feel good even just a tiny bit less. I think he says 8 to 10 minutes. If you're talking about something real interesting, and they may, let you go an extra minute or something like that. But you're going to see anything longer than that is probably too long anyway for people to watch it. And when they watch these things back, they may find out that there's really a solid 6 minutes, and that, there was some answer in the beginning that wasn't so great, but then after that you were just amazing. And they'll sit there and their editor will pull that thing out and give you this tight version that is just, really beautiful. So again, that's something else you can expect. Before I tell you some of the other things that I want to get into, which include on the rest of our chat together, include how you can actually get the perfect answers out of your brain and into the interview. That's a big part of what I want to do. What I want to do is open it up to any question under the sun so far, because that was the idea of leaving everything unmuted. So any question going through any of your heads? You can hit me with it. I want to make sure you get what you want and it's personalized today.
I'm lessening the butterfly feeling that's in my stomach. So
you have less of it?
What's that?
You said you have less butterflies now?
I said, I'm lessening, or from what you're saying, it's making me feel much better, because I was kind of like apprehensive or hugely with anticipating, and I know how I have a tendency to be, so I can appreciate what you're mentioning. It's helping tremendously.
Oh, good. And by the way, that's a normal human reaction to the unknown, and, it's how long have you been doing what you're doing? Milton.
Was that a question?
Yeah, how long have you been doing what you're doing?
This is about 17 and a half years, almost 18 years.
Yes. So is it safe to say when you get into that conversation with the prospect or client, those butterflies are long gone? You know it, it's in your bones, am I right?
Exactly.
Right. So the thing is, that's just yet another thing for you to tap into. And there's no unknown there. So that's it. So the more unknown that we remove, the more you'll show up, you'll feel good. And if you have a little bit of that, go back to the very first thing I said, which is you take that deep breath. All right, yes, it's great to be here. Even if you're thinking to yourself, it doesn't feel it just yet. But again, after a first question or two, when they're saying, Milton, you create these vacations and these trips for a lot of, real interesting clientele, for CEOs, and, you do it differently than if they just, cookie cutter, went online somewhere and got something. Right. Tell us how. Then that's it. Forget it. The doors have been blown wide open.
Right. Exactly.
I feel like you're going to be in the zone. Right. So, again, that's something else that you can expect to happen.
Okay.
Any other questions from other folks too? Or any of you?
Yes, I have a question as far as energy.
Sure.
Do you match the energy of Brian in this case, because he's here to make us look good, or do we give a little more energy than what he's doing, or would that look kind of weird or crazy? That's kind of what my question is.
Well, here's what I'd say about it. Step one is, TV is a cooling medium. It somehow sucks out a little bit of the energy of the people who are on there. So you actually have to add a little bit more in. And by the way, there's good news. You can practice some of this with a video recording device. I'd say it like that because it's built into our cell phones and digital cameras and our everything, our shoes. I mean, it's built into everything now. So you can turn to a colleague or spouse or friend or whoever and say, ask me 5 questions, and you can see what it looks like, meaning your energy level. I mean, I'm going to get to what you said about, matching with the host and all that. But step one is to realize that TV and video kind of sucks out a little bit of the energy, so you got to put a little bit more in. Step two is ideally you do have some good energy, meaning you like what you do. It shows that you are passionate in what you do. And the third thing about trying to be like the host and all that, you know what, I'm going to make it simple. You should be like you. And, you know, even though I said it, and this is similar to the answer that Nick and I give about clothing, which is, you know, it should match who you are. It really should in a lot of ways with energy. I mean, you may have to just, you know, add just that tiny little extra bit for television, but ideally all of you can hear. I like what I do. I'm passionate. Ideally on this call, I have good energy. Hopefully I'm modeling some of that in general. It comes easier to me only because I like what I love what I do. And if I hated it, I'd probably be a little less energetic about it. I hope I'm not over the top. I don't think I am. I'm not, you know, TV infomercial person saying, all right, everybody, here's what you're going to do. But you know what? If I were a, and this is where I'm qualifying it, if I'm a fitness consultant, and a lot of folks who do some of these shows, and some of you who are on right now are falling to that category, that might be your personality. If you're, I was trying to think, who is, I forgot, Tony Little? Remember that guy who was the, you know, fitness guy, and he was on TV in the commercials and all. You know, all right, we're going to do these things. You know, that's his personality. And so I would worry less about the interviewer. And, you know, if you have extra energy, they'll probably react off of it and play into it. And they might even, you know, like, I love this guy. And who's it? You're laughing. You're having a good time. But the flip side is, you know, I just actually worked with somebody the other day. And this woman had a topic that had to do with a whole business she created around training and consulting caregivers. And she was kind of speaking in a real calm voice and a voice that really just felt very comforting. And when we were stopped in between some shooting, I said, you know, I tell most of my clients to bring it up a level and do this, but I said, you know, I have to say it really matches what you talk about. I said, I feel like you're somebody who really, you know, cares and gets it and it's, you know, soothing and it felt right. So, so did that answer your question?
Absolutely. Thank you very much for that.
All right, good, good. All right,
so
cool. Anyone else have a question? Yeah.
Well, this is Sandra. Come in. From Washington State. What I hear you saying is be real, you know, in your conversation.
Yes.
About what you do and why you love it.
Yes.
So be real.
Very
be
good translation.
Okay.
I absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, it's kind of funny as you say that, which people say to me when I meet them at a barbecue or something, they'll say, oh, you're a media trainer. Okay, so do you spend all day trying to get people to be completely different? And I laugh and I say, actually, I spend all day trying to get people to be more like themselves, but the best parts of themselves. And I think you're seeing exactly what I mean. Meaning, you know, on those days when you're fired up or you feel like things are really working and people are understanding what you're saying, you're really having these connections. I want you to think of your interviewer as that person who's really getting it, and you're enlightening them just like you would with a prospect or a client. And what do you do, by the way, Sandra?
I'm a tax professional.
Very nice. And make sure in your interview you also tell us a few things that we don't know. Some the ahas, the wows, the things that you do and you find when you work with clients. That would say, I didn't even think about that, you know, or the fact that, you know, by making a few simple tax-related changes, you may have a few thousand or more than a few thousand dollars that you're keeping. And it's, you know, a nice way to give yourself a raise. But make sure you have somebody who knows what they're doing the right thing, or however you say it, that would, you know, whatever the aha is that you give your clients. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, yeah, and same thing for all the rest of you. If you can work in some of that wow. So, again,
people watch this video and they say, huh, you know, I had no idea. I'm thinking back to one of the past tapings that we did. So we had a financial consultant who said, one of the things he went out there with, he said, you know, we hear a lot of the same things, like, you know, you should save, you know, whatever percentage of your money and keep having it work for you and this and that. And some people do some of the right things and some people don't. But you know what? Nothing's cookie cutter. There's no such thing as a one-size-fits-all. Everyone has a different stage of life they're in or comfort level of what it is that they want. But the good news is that they can bounce back, they can get ahead, and there are some interesting ways that we can help people to have their money work for them that they had no idea about, that a lot of folks aren't doing. And then this guy went on to talk about a couple of unique, interesting ways he's doing something with people's money that was fantastic. So, you know, I was left saying, you know, if I lived in your area and I didn't already have the financial consultant that I already know for years and love, I would take a next step. And, you know, it was a no-brainer at that point. Because this guy was saying, you know, why aren't people doing this? They don't know why they're not doing it because they don't know about it. But, you know, I would give these ideas to the client, say, which one feels good to you? Which one feels right? And, you know, here's, you know, how you're protected next Wednesday. So, for all of you, this is, you would customize all of this to you, meaning you'd find some of the wow, some of the aha things that you say to those clients and prospects. So anyway, Sandra, thanks for leading me into that.
Okay. Excuse me.
What did you say about the interviewer?
Well, the interviewer, so question, the interviewer helps bring that out in us. Is
yes.
True?
Yes. I'm going to tell you how you can have even more control.
Okay.
So this is perfectly leading me into the next thing I want to go to, which is when it comes to any interview, I mean, the deck is stacked in your favor because this time you know, they want to make you look good. They're going to edit it nicely. They're going to give you an opportunity to interact back and forth with the questions. And ultimately, you know, if Nick sends you questions, essentially they're this: who, what, when, where, why, and how. You know, tell us about your background. How'd you get started? Okay, that's a who. You know, so what do you do for your clients or people you work with that is just, you know, a little bit different? Or they may say it like this, saying that you do a few things that are, you know, just a little bit different than other folks to do what you do. Well, that's right, and here's what I did. So it's basically, just so you know, today the questions are essentially who, what, when, where, why, and how. Here is how you have even more control. If you are doing, you know, my secret wish for all of you is that you're so confident that you can go out there and do other interviews beyond this, that you say, wow, this was a great experience, and I wanted to go do more. I want to reach out. And, you know, after this thing is done, if you hit reply on one of the emails, I'm happy to give you some other emails that include, you'll see I'm sending you little videos now that give you lessons and thoughts, and I'm sure I have other free stuff that I can give you on the publicity side to give you a few ideas. But you can have more control. So here it comes. Here comes something good. I said I was going to open with something really good, and this is what I'm ending the call with today, which is, now set the bar up. It better be good. Don't worry, it is. Anything that comes out of your mouth is a message. These are all the messages you're putting in the story. The things that come out of your mouth that you actually want in the interview, those are your media messages. Now, how do you know? Oh, I have to come up with good media messages. Some people also call them answers. These are your answers, the things you're saying. So here is the little routine that you can do between now and our next call. I even encourage you can do it in the 7 minutes following this call. I just know the way I am. If I don't just do it, and if I'm making it so easy for you by saying 7 minutes, don't do more than 7 minutes. 7 minutes, you can get this whole thing done very easily. So here's how it works. If I said to you, so this is the drill or exercise. If I said to you as the interviewer, I Jess, am too lazy to come up with good questions. Why don't you, person being interviewed, take a piece of paper out, pad out, and write down answers, not the questions, answers that you wish you could say in the interview, and I'll just let you say all of those things. So it's kind of flipping this thing in reverse. If I let you say whatever you wanted, what would you say? So after this call, if you take 7 minutes, five is too short, anything more than the seven, you're going to be, you know, writing a whole tome. You're going to go on forever. 7 minutes is kind of this great stream of consciousness. You're going to have practically everything you want there. So if you could say anything you want, what would you say in the interview? And you start scribbling down, oh, I'd go in this direction. Oh, I'd say this. Now, at the end of the 7 minutes, and I do this with all my clients, I say, take a good look at what you wrote. And then people say, holy cow, if I said half these things, I would be so happy with the interview. So this is why this is kind of big. I would be so happy with the interview if I just did these seven, I mean, I said some of the things on this page. So now I'm going to take it a step further. And don't worry, I'm going to bring it back to how this worked with your interview, So you look at these things, and most of you, I'm going to go out on a limb to say most of you are not trained actors who can then go and memorize everything. So I need to give you a system to help you to mentally access these answers that you wrote down, these media messages that you wrote down. So here's what it is. You take a second piece of paper, and you turn it sideways, landscape style, as my computer always tells me. And you're going to draw a grid on there with three columns. So you draw two lines from the top, turning it into, and a line across, so it turns it into a grid of three columns. And we're going to look at the answers from the first page that you wrote out, and we're going to figure out how can we drop them into these three columns? How can we find three common category heads so that we can organize these answers that you wrote? And if we do that, so this is kind of big, if we do that and we give them each a one-word heading, as long as you remember the three words at the top, you now have a roadmap for every answer that you give. So I'm going to give you three common headings that come up when I do these things. So say, let's see here. Sandy, what did you say your topic was again?
Sandra?
Yes, Sandra?
I thought there was someone else on the call. I'm a tax professional.
Yes, okay, good. Because I was thinking of this. Yes, yeah, so what are some of the common things that you see when people come in when they're issued?
Oh, lots of anxiety about receiving letters from the IRS.
Yes, good.
Yes, we help them take care of that. Back taxes, they owe money, we settle tax debt, we do tax returns.
Right.
You know,
all these things, your first, and now she's off and running. This first category, if you wrote a little grid.
Yes.
I would call that first category problems or situations.
Thank you.
You can call it whatever you want. This, whatever you call it is just for your brain to say, I know what's in that category. So these are the problems people show up with.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, maybe it's not so obvious, but if you brought this up in an interview, somebody may, the light bulb goes off in their head saying, ooh, you know, my thing is not that I thought I needed a new tax person. My thing is I'm getting letters from the IRS, and I'm freaked out about it, and they're piling up, and I'm afraid to open them. So holy cow, she's speaking my language. So the first category for you might be called problem. Now, if your first category is called problem, a logical second category might be called what?
Solutions.
There it is.
Woo-hoo.
Solutions. So for you, this is why I called on you, because I was thinking, oh, she's somebody who matches this. And a lot of you probably will be this particular example I'm giving. So second category is solution. The third category, this is one of my favorites. It can be anything you like, but here's where the magic happens. If you call it call to action,
call to action. You can shorten it to the word action as long as you understand the word that it's essentially call to action. Your call to action, so here's how you would deliver answers. Every answer you deliver should have a little something from each of the three categories. So Brian Tracy, or I can't remember if Nick or Brian is going to interview you, but we'll say to you, Sandra, you know, what is something, you know, what do you see with a lot of folks that you work with? Now, normally, prior to this phone call, you would say, oh, we see people getting too many letters, and they're that back taxes, and they're worried, and they've been doing something wrong, and you just list all the problems. What you need to do is give a three-part answer. So you list a couple of those. You say, but here's the good news, Brian Tracy. The good news is that they can quickly bounce back, that there are people, me, who are out there who can be on their side, who can take the burden off their shoulders, who can help them to get over the hump. Yes, that can fix it and really fix it in a faster way than they thought possible,
right,
and with less heartache than they thought. And here comes the call to action. And for people who are listening right now are saying, wow, this is me, you really should take a next step. You should take a next step. You should do something. And one of the things, whether it's me or somebody who can really help you, and, you know, ideally in our chat today we can talk about some of these next steps. So notice how it was a three-part answer, where normally we would just list the problems and then wait for the interviewer to ask us a question about some of the solutions. So this is the big thing I wanted to end the call with. I'm going to try to start the next call with it so that I can, now that I've planted the seeds of what this is about, that you can all think about, three-part answer. And by the way, these three categories, I mentioned problem, solution, call to action. For some of you, it might be facts or details, whatever you want to call it, facts. I mean, it could be, you know, these are the facts of what it is that I do in my business and the things that happen and the main details of, you know, what I do day to day and help people. So a second category could be benefits. That would be another thing. But you know, I don't just do these things. This is how I make people's lives better. And here's what I what they always come and tell me. And, you know, I might be, let's take Milton before, where he may say, yes, I'm helping people book these trips. But let's say his first category were, you know, the details of what it is that you do, Milton. But the second category might be benefits. But here's why what we do is just a little bit different. It's because we build something around the individual. And it's also because we know our clientele better than anybody else who does what we do. They don't do what we do. We're the only ones. We know what our clientele wants because we go so much deeper. And then the call to action is, you know, next time somebody goes and works on goes to put together a trip, you really need to ask yourself. So notice, when I say call to action, people think, oh, it means saying, and you should go to my website, which is the www. You know what? Nick and his team are going to put that on the bottom of the screen. You don't even have to sweat it for this interview. Anytime you say something where people are thinking, ooh, where is this? How do I find this guy? They're going to put it at the bottom of the screen. So your calls to action might be things like, ask yourself this one question. And you go on when you're putting your next trip together, wouldn't you want to have it done in the way that somebody really gets what you're about, that you're not wasting time in the wrong parts of your trip, or that they know you love to go scuba diving and that they know that 20 minutes from where you are is one of the best, most exciting scuba locations in the world? Holy cow, I had no idea.
Right.
So saying, ask yourself this one question, or, you know, do this one thing. Write down three places in the world that would be on your bucket list. And you know what? Whether we book you on that trip and we do it in a way that, you know, is far better, and whether saving money is one of the benefits or not, maybe not. Maybe it's more about, you know, one of the other benefits. But if you say to people, write down, you know, three things that you'd have on your places you go on your bucket list, and do that, and whether we take you on that trip or we say to you, guess what, there's a place that is just like that, but 10 times better, but most people don't know about it. We're going to identify that because that's what we do every day, 24 hours a day, and think about it and think, sleep, breathe it. So I hope I opened the door with the idea of these three categories of answers to all of you thinking, you know, this is how all of my answers just go in a deeper way. On the next call, what I'm going to do is kind of give you a structure to – I mean, I'm going to plant the seed here and tell you, but a structure for taking anything the interviewer says – I mean, they're really going to walk you into a lot of these things anyway, so it's easy. But anything they say and bring it on over to those three categories of answers. You know, if Brian Tracy says – and say, Milton, what city – you said Dallas-Fort Worth area. He may say – you know, Dallas-Fort Worth, I love Dallas-Fort Worth. My cousin lives there. So you're thinking, that wasn't even a question, and that has nothing to do with anything. And, you know, and you could say, I love it too, but you know what I love? So here's the last thing I'm leaving with. What I call the short answer that ties a bow on what they said, and then you have control and you can move into the three categories of messages. So here's the short answer that ties a bow in that. You may say, I love it too, and boy, you know, doing what I do for a living, I get to live in a place I love, but I get to go all over the world to places that most people don't even know about because of the information we have access to and the things that we figured out and what is available in these locations. So I got the best of both worlds. So here it is. He said something about Dallas and – you know, you, boom, we're right back over on message into a place that makes his next question say, yes, so, yeah, what have you figured out along the way over the years? So I know I went over just a couple of minutes, so I'm gonna tie a bow on it and wrap it up. So after the call, if you have 7 minutes, do it. If you want to do it some other point between now and next time, boy, it's going to make you feel so much better beforehand and then be so much better during the actual interview. Any last questions before I let everybody go off and do your thing for the rest of your day? Any burning questions? I don't want to leave you with burning questions. I think maybe we did it. All right.
Yeah, answered all my questions. Thank you.
Hey. All right. Perfect. All right. So until the next time, I appreciate you all taking time out, and I'm excited that a lot of people tuned in, and I know a lot of people tuned in to the replays. It's going to be awesome. You're in great shape. Nick and his team just are – I'm an outside person who's been brought in to – over. You know, I've been doing it with them in the last 6 years, but an outside person to just, you know, complete everything. So, Nick – so I could go even deeper than Nick and the team do on this level. And then he'll do the final body language pieces when you see him. But I bring that up because I don't have to say it, but they're going to take great care of you, and they just I think they do an amazing job. So you'll see when you get there. So there you have it. Until our next call, have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, sir. You do the same.
All right.
Thank you.
I'll see you soon. Thank you.